Okay, so this morning I'm preaching a message on love and life. And, you know, coming into, I don't know what you call this stage of life, early 40s, I'm a very reluctant person going into their 40s, but, you know, have done life, have done kids. I remember after we had our third child, I kind of knew what I was doing. It took a couple of kids to understand what actually needs to be done. And so by the third child, I knew kind of what things were about. And so coming to the stage of life, you know, I've learned some lessons the hard way, but I think I've got a grip and a better understanding of how to love and how to do life. And so this message comes from the Word of God and what Jesus actually commands us to do. And I pray that this message would really just hit you hard in the heart, and actually challenge you and cause you to go out of your comfort zone this year, really step out in faith, in love and life. All right, let's get going, hey? So there's 3 points that I want to bring to you. The first one is perfect love. And then we'll look at compassionate love and then leading a lifestyle of love. And so perfect love, there's a scripture in 1 John chapter 4. And the reason why I chose 1 John is because John was the closest to Jesus, and everything that he writes about is all about love. And God is love. And so we're going to pick up from 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. I'm just going to read through the scripture, and then I'm just going to draw out a couple of things that need to be highlighted to you. Dear friends, he says, dear friends. Jesus refers to us as his friends, and John does the same. Let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us the Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. And so a couple of scriptures that I want to draw your attention to is perfect love, that actually we how we love one another as followers and believers in Christ, that our love is perfected through that. But do you know that because of Jesus, we are already made perfect? He is righteousness for us. He has given us that perfection for us. And so we grow in that perfection as we love one another. When I was growing up, I liked things to be perfect. I like things to be quite particular. I was quite particular, not about everything, but about a lot of things. And children are a great antidote for kicking that out of the way, and, you know, they mess things up very, very quickly. But, you know, there are some times where, you know, I'm setting the table, everything has to be exactly placed and symmetrical. There are times where I have measured furniture in our home to make sure that it's completely central to the rug and positioning of everything. And, you know, it can really kind of take over and actually be a problem. But there was one occasion where I took Shekinah and Samantha down to the beach for a beach walk. And as we approached the beach, it was just perfect. Perfect blue sky, perfect clear blue water. And the beach had just been combed. Have you ever seen a beach combed? It's just amazing, like these perfect soft ripples across the whole sand. It was just absolutely perfect. There wasn't even a seagull I couldn't see anyway. And so I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't want to mess this up. This is just too perfect, too beautiful. But I have to set an example for my kids, right? So I'm going to fully embrace that. I'm going to mess this perfectly combed beach sand. And I'll tell you what, I had to take a few deep breaths and I just ran across the beach and just messed it up with my footprints, thinking, okay, I've done this really good job. You know, I've broken free. And Shekinah follows behind. This must be a genetic thing, because she ran in my footprints so that she wouldn't mess up the rest of the beach either. But, you know, thank the Lord that we are made perfect through Jesus Christ, and that our love is perfected as we love one another. Jesus commands us to love one another, to love each other. And the only way that we do this is through relationship, through close, good, healthy friendships with one another. And loving one another is messy. Family, you know, would be messy. Loving one another can be messy. You're getting right down into the nitty-gritty of people's lives and journeying through difficult situations, and it is messy. But our love is perfected as we do that. God refines us as we engage in those friendships and those relationships, and we grow in perfect love. Jesus very clearly says through this chapter in 1 John that it is a command that we must, it's not optional, we must love one another. And this is why we do Connect. You'll notice that you've got a Connect card on your seats this morning. This is why we do life with each other. This is why we as your pastors set up a structure and an opportunity for you to engage in doing life with one another, in having those friendships with one another, where you can perfect the love of God in yourself through those groups. It's not optional, it's actually essential. There are churches who actually basically say, you're in a group. If you're part of our community, you're in a group. We've already opted you in. This is how critical it is to be part of people's lives and journeying with people's lives, because our love is perfected through that. We need to be in relationship with one another, doing life together. So, such love has no fear, 1 John 4, 18 to 19, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully expressed his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. You know, our relationships are not based on fear, they are based on the love of God. Relationships that are based on fear are manipulative and abusive. But God is a God of love, and there's no fear. And so when we come into our Connect groups, there is no fear. Whatever is stopping you being part of a Connect, don't let that stop you. Actually allow God to transform you and be part of a group. There's no fear. There is no fear in his love. We had a Connect leaders dinner a few weeks ago, and you know, I'm just hearing great stories of how people have really been impacted by the discussions of Scripture and have been challenged, and their faith is being ignited. And, You know, we can have these robust discussions. We can ask questions. I love how Lisa and Susan are doing Alpha, and it's just a place where people feel really safe and they can just explore and ask whatever question they have about God, about Jesus, and have a discussion. It's so good. That's how we grow. That's how we learn from one another. And even being a Christian a long time, when I've been in those places of people questioning and discovering, I learn so much from those questions. It challenges me to think, wow, how would I answer that? Where is that in the Word of God? The Women's Connect that I did last year, and we're continuing this year. Initially, I started it out of a bit of an obligation, if you like. And I didn't expect to see just how powerful God moved in the times that we had Connect. I mean, Claire's part of that group, so she can testify to that. We had powerful times of prayer over one another. The presence of God was so tangible. We saw incredible things happen, and we saw great things happen in terms of people growing as they were put in positions where they had to share a discussion on the Word, where they had to go and bring something. I saw people grow as leaders. I saw people grow in their faith. Incredible, powerful. Just gathering together. That's all it is, just getting together. So we must love one another. We must be in a connect. And we also need to have compassionate love, compassionate love. In Mark 6, we see how the disciples, Jesus had sent the disciples out two by two to go and heal the sick and cast out demons and preach the Word of God. And I couldn't find how long they had been out doing that for, but they had been doing this ministry tour, if you like. And I do remember when Pastor Steve and Barry went to West Africa last year, doing a ministry tour per se, you know, they were preaching, they were healing, they were moving in the Holy Spirit, and they travelled a long way and they came back and they were very exhausted. And I have no doubt that these disciples were equally as exhausted from doing that sort of ministry, because you're giving out of yourself constantly. It's exhausting, it's tiring. And so they had come back to Jesus and they're so excited about what they had to share from their tour, and they telling Jesus all about their experiences and what happened. And so Jesus says, look, let's go and just have a rest. I think we all need to have a rest. And so they go, there's actually lots of people, thousands of people that are there coming and going in and out. And Jesus takes the disciples to a different place. But all these people see them. And so they run ahead to the place that they're going to. And there's thousands of people there. He go ahead, and then Jesus and the disciples are there as well. And we read that Jesus has compassion on these people. He sees that these were people who were hungry, desperate to have someone teach them about the Word of God, to someone actually be a true shepherd to them. There were plenty of religious leaders, but they were not true shepherds. And these were thousands of people who were just so desperate to hear Jesus teach them and talk to them and be a true shepherd to them. And so Jesus, even though he would have been exhausted, the disciples would have been exhausted, he had compassion upon them. He saw their need. He saw their suffering. And so then he spent time and he taught the Word of God to them. He talked about the kingdom of God to them for a long time. Having compassionate love like Jesus does is not convenient. At times we will be tired, we will be not wanting to actually have compassion for people. But there are so many scriptures in the Old Testament, all through the Word of God, where we see that God is compassionate. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He has compassion. And this word compassion is seeing someone else's suffering and wanting to relieve that suffering. So in this story that we find in Mark 6, where Jesus has compassion on people that are desperate and so hungry to hear about who he is, that there are times where people will be suffering and we need to have compassion upon them and meet that need and relieve their suffering in the way that's appropriate. Some of you may know that I've recently returned to counselling just for a little bit, just picking up some clients. And I had a previous client contact me late last year and just asked to see me, and I agreed to that. And I was really prompted by the Holy Spirit when we were talking about fees and costs. I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to not actually charge this person anything, which is, there are reasons why people pay, but I won't go into that. So that was the first instance where I was moved by compassion. I knew his situation. And then as time has gone on and I know that I'll be seeing this person for a long time, that there was one particular occasion where I allowed the time with this person to go over an extra hour. It was inconvenient. It was a sacrifice that I chose to make. But I was moved by compassion for this person. I was moved by compassion for someone who I knew had not experienced love, who had only known rejection and abandonment and pain and hate. And so I was moved by compassion for this person. And this person couldn't, they couldn't say, well, you're just doing your job. Well, you're not paying me anything. It was out of a genuine love for this person. And that's the experience that they had. And so the suffering was relieved in that moment. And so I really want to ask you, when you're walking in your day, Jesus saw the need in people. Jesus responded to the needs in people. And so as you go about your day, who needs your compassionate love? Who needs you to actually relieve someone suffering for them? Notice, look, see. There will be people. And as you respond to that, as you respond to the Holy Spirit leading you in those moments, you'll have powerful encounters with people. Powerful encounters. And it opens up a door to share about Jesus Christ. This story in Mark 6, we see that after Jesus had done all this teaching, he sees that they're hungry and they need food, and asks the disciples, what do you have? And all we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus blesses that food, and we know that he did a miracle through that, and there were about 5,000 people that ate of the food and they had leftovers as well. What is in your hand? What do you have that you can bring a blessing to someone? Whatever you have, it doesn't matter how much or how little, whatever you have in your hand, that's what you can bring to bless and to meet needs in people. And God will do a miracle through that. We had some friends who have been on holidays, and I called them up and I said, why don't you just come over for dinner? I was cooking dinner and invited them over for dinner. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I kind of actually was planning the week, and I wanted to be organised, and I wanted to have leftovers and make sure that I didn't have to do takeaway there later that week. And so part of me was like, I was a little bit annoyed because I knew there wouldn't be enough food. But at the same time, I just wanted to bless these friends and have a great time with them. They came, we ate, and we had a fantastic time. We had seconds. We had more than enough leftover. More than enough left over. And, you know, that was an error on my part, not trusting in the Lord in that particular situation. God will bless you. As you bless others, he will bless you. And you won't lack, and he will do a miracle, and he will do incredible things through those times that you're engaging with people. Compassionate love. Compassionate love. It really is going beyond our own needs and being selfless and sacrificing and relieving other people's suffering so that they can see the love of God in you. I just want to share one more story because You know, when we journey life together, when we have conversations and friendships with one another, God always does something. He always does something. Last year in July, we had a Christmas in July, and we just allowed people to go and choose different places that they could go to. And we said, go to someone you don't normally go to. You know, go hang out with someone you don't normally go to. And so Sandy and Kylie came to our house for Christmas lunch, and Sandy was talking to Richard about sleep apnea and migraines and health issues that my husband has and Sandy can identify with. Now this, I cannot thank Sandy enough, He has changed my life and probably saved my husband's life. So it is so difficult to get my husband to go and see a doctor about anything. And, you know, anything I suggest, no. So I have lived for 20 years with a very loud sleeper. I remember the first year of marriage, I was thinking, I do not know how I will ever sleep properly again. It was just so bad, so bad. Nights where I'm like, if I just get to sleep first, it'll be all right. Just got to get to sleep first, it'll be okay. And this is not a... I don't want to embarrass my husband, because I used to be a loud sleeper too, very, very loud. So thank the Lord that that has been fixed. Now through this conversation, through time with people and our friendship, you know, my husband has actually had testing done and is going through a process of, you know, having a solution and this issue fixed, which means sleeping is peaceful. It's so quiet. It's so quiet. It's amazing. It's amazing. God is so, so good. I know we've got a few couples that are getting married soon, and I just want to encourage you, if you have anything like this happen in the start of your marriage, get it sorted fast. Don't wait. Do something about it. Get people to come and speak into their life and get it resolved. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful because, you know, in all seriousness, this was a serious issue. This actually could have affected the lifespan of my husband's life. You never know. These connect, these friendships, they could actually save someone's life. Incredible. And so moving into leading a lifestyle of love, a lifestyle of love. This year, Pastor Nigel and I really were just thinking, you know what? Church has been really hard work. And we just want you guys to have fun. And I think that's something that's so important, you know, that we really need to have fun with one another and to have a lifestyle that is fun and loving and doing life with one another. And so this concept of leading a lifestyle of love is that we actually are doing connect. We're loving one another. We're loving one another as fellow believers, and we are discussing scripture, and we're growing in the knowledge of the word, and we're doing Bible plans together, and we're talking about God, and we're doing the hard yards together. But also we need to be loving people in our community. That's also equally as essential as what God says. I want to take you to a scripture. We know that Jesus teaches his disciples that, who a lot of them were fishermen, that even though they were fishermen, they were fishing for fish, that he says we need to fish for people. There are so many people who need to hear about the love of God. So many people. And we are his church. We carry the responsibility of doing that, of sharing his love with others and inviting them into his house and opening up the gospel to them. And so Jesus leads a lifestyle of love, of having meals with people who were the most despised, the tax collectors. He spoke to prostitutes. He spoke to women. That in and of itself in his culture and day was, you know, not really acceptable. And we read in Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 31, just one encounter of Jesus showing us how to lead a lifestyle of love. And so we read later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honour. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." So leading a lifestyle of love means that we go beyond these walls. We actually have really good friendships with people in our community. And so we actually want to launch what we're calling Lifestyle Connect. And so we have our Connect every fortnight for most groups. Some groups operate a little bit differently. They might meet every few weeks. And the Lifestyle Connect is all about just a couple of people, you and a friend, thinking of something that you really, really enjoy, and then praying over that Lifestyle Connect and thinking of who else, not from church, because it's so easy to be creatures of habit and just, you know, stay within the people that we know really well, but actually go outside and think of who in my life, what friends do I have, what work colleagues do I have, can I actually have as part of this Lifestyle Connect? And so it's about having fun together, doing something that you really, really enjoy. And out of these Lifestyle Connect, out of these conversations that we have with our friends, that they will see that Christ is in us, and we can just naturally share the word with them and invite them to church. It's such an easy thing to do. It's such an easy thing to do, to share our faith with people. But we need to love them first. We need to do life with them. We have a couple of Lifestyle Connects already starting. We've got Richard has a board games group that he does with the guys that he's actually been doing for a little while. And, you know, it's just so good to see men come together and just enjoy doing something together. That's what guys do really, really well. We also have an exercise group. Lisa is starting. She has a qualification in fitness, so she is qualified to do this. And so she'll be starting an exercise group and having a fun group. And so if you want to get involved with that on a Saturday morning, go see her and be part of that. And so I want to ask you this morning, what do you really love doing? What are you passionate about? Is it cycling? Is it walking? Is it swimming? Is it reading? What do you enjoy doing? Fishing. I have to say that because Todd's here. What do you love to do? What do you love to do? Claire and I want to do wine tasting. Is it going to the movies? I don't think I'd be in that group. I know I fall asleep within the first 10 minutes, so that's not a group for me. But, you know, what do you love to do? Maybe you want to try something new. Maybe you want to be adventurous. This is a great opportunity for you to be stronger in your courage, in stepping out in faith and actually engaging with people in your world in a way that you've never done before. This is a year that we are going to be stronger together as we not only do life together with Connect, but we are doing life together with people who need the love of God. And so I want to encourage you, be of good courage. God gives us courage. You know, the only way that we can love people is by understanding how God has loved us. The only way that we can forgive other people and forgive ourselves is knowing that God has forgiven us. The only way that we can be gracious towards other people is understanding the grace that has been extended to us. The only way that we can share the gospel with people and share the word that Jesus died for you and rose again for you is knowing and understanding that he has done that for you himself. We love one another because God loved us first. And so if there are areas that you are struggling with, if it's difficult for you to forgive, if it's difficult for you to go outside and take good courage and be with people outside of these walls, I pray that you get a revelation and an encounter and an experience and a knowing of God's love for you. We need to be courageous. We need to be strong. And it's just as much a challenge as it is for me, as I hope it is for you. But what an incredible space to be where we can actually trust God in this. We can trust him. We can have faith in him. He is a God of love. He is a trusting, faithful God. And so Colossians 4 verses 5 to 6. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Let your lives be gracious and attractive. At your workplace, at the gym, at the shops, with your family, with your friends. Let the love of God flow through you and flow out to all those around you, that you may win people to the Lord. That's why we do what we do, isn't it? We want to see people one to God. We want to see them in the kingdom of God. We want to know that none are going to perish. And so start praying. Start praying into these lifestyle connects. Don't think that it's just for somebody else to do. Don't think that, oh, someone else can do that. I can't do that. No, we are all called to do this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So on your seats you have, there's two things. We've got these beautiful pictures on the Connect brochure. This is a family from Wellar. They've just had their second baby, Kelsey, Natsai and Arnold. So in this brochure are all the different Connects that we have. And for those of you who are not part of one, have a look, see which one you want to belong to and go and see what it's like. And if it's not quite the right fit for you, that's okay. We'll take you to another place until it is. And if there's not a group on here that doesn't really stand out or it doesn't fit into your lifestyle or your week, then let's start a new group, right? Easy. Okay. So the other card that you have, I want all of you to actually fill this in right now and the ushers will collect it in a couple of minutes. You know what I love about Connect? We have a lot of people who travel through this area, through this corridor of Fremantle. And, you know, having people like Michelle and Suzanne, who this is their second home, they have two homes, they are part of a Connect. And it's such a joy to have people, even when they're here for only 6 months. I wish you were here all the time, but I know you've got family back in Canada. But you know, this is family. This is life together. And so even if you are just passing through for a few months, we welcome you to join these Connects because they are such a blessing. We've had many young adults who are on holiday visas passing through and they go to Connect. And their lives are enriched and they have an instant support network and family around them for that period of time. So we welcome that. We really do welcome that. So on the back of your card, there's a few questions. I'm just going to walk you through it and you can fill it in as we go. So just put down what Connect you are a part of. If you want to start a Connect, it's so easy to do so. You just need two people. So if you would like to do that, you can tick that box. And if there's someone that stands out to you that you would like to start a Connect with, then write that down as well. The third question, I would like to be a Connect group host. Now, someone who hosts a Connect simply just opens up their home. We meet in each other's homes mostly. I know sometimes we go to cafes and things like that, but generally we meet in each other's homes. And so if you love having people over to your home, if you love just opening up your place and being hospitable, then tick that box, because that's such a gift that you can bring to a group. What lifestyle Connect are you interested? Write down what you really, really enjoy. Write down what you would like to do as a fun group with other people. And be creative. Think outside the box. I think Richard wants to do a paintballing lifestyle Connect. And who are you starting a lifestyle Connect with? So just, again, it's just two people having the same interest, and that's how we get going. It's so simple. It's so simple. So if you could fill that out now, I'm just going to invite the worship team to come back up